We're 1 month away from the 2023 NFL draft, so it's time for our draft conversations to heat up. So on today's show, I am making the case for or against every position in the first round for the Buffalo Bills today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, and please be sure to subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Well, as I referenced in the cold open to today's episode, the NFL draft is like a month away. And so it's time for us to really heat up our conversations about the Bills and this coming draft. And so I thought a great way for us to really start having those conversations was to consider the different position groups on the team and whether or not they should be in play for the Bills with their first round selection, which comes at number 27 overall. So we're going to go through each position and we're going to talk about the case for or against that particular position group as things currently stand. So let's do that. And then later in the week, we're going to do a linebacker episode. I know that's a big point of emphasis right now, potentially needing a starting Mike linebacker for this team. Might do some mock draft stuff later on. So we're really going to start cranking up the draft conversations this week and, of course, through the entire month of April. So let's start with quarterback. And this is going to be very simple. There is no case to be made. The Bills quarterback room is set. Josh Allen's your starter. Kyle Allen's your backup. Matt Barkley's your practice squad guy. You'll need to add a camp arm for rookie camp, and then that's it. And there's probably some conversations to be had about maybe drafting one on day three, if this is the year to do that or next year is the year to do that, and the roster ability of that player, all that stuff. But when it comes to the first round, there's no case to be made for a quarterback. Let's move on. Running back. I personally really like the makeup of the room as is. James Cook, Damian Harris, Nyheim Hines. You definitely want a running back to have in your back pocket for the practice squad, your Duke Johnson type player. So I don't really see this being in the first round conversation. Now, I will say, as I've said throughout this offseason, Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, changes the conversation. But I'll tell you this, I don't think he sniffs pick 27, and there's no chance I would advocate for the Bills trading up for a running back in the first round. If somehow, some way, Bijan is there at 27, there's a conversation to be had. Short of that, I don't think there's any conversation to be had about the Bills and first round running backs. Tight end. Now, quarterback and running back, I was pretty dismissive. For tight end, I perk up a little bit. This is an outstanding tight end class. And I have a sneaky suspicion that the Bills are pretty intrigued by this group of tight ends, as honestly all 32 teams should be. There's some really nice talent out there this year for tight ends. And Dawson Knox is obviously the Bills' starting tight end. They just committed a four-year contract extension to him that's going to pay him an average of $14 million a season. The Bills' starting tight end situation is absolutely solidified. But I'm not going to forget those comments that we've heard from Sean McDermott about his affinity for tight ends and how important they are for a quarterback. And I remember a quote that he had at the combine one year, and he said, when I was in Carolina and it was third down, I knew we were going to get a first down because we had Greg Olsen, and I knew that he was going to get open and catch football. And talked about how much of an asset Greg Olsen was to Cam Newton. And so we know he likes tight ends. We know that 12 personnel, meaning two tight end sets, was a staple of the Carolina Panthers offense when Ken Dorsey and Mike Shula were there together, Shula the coordinator. Yeah, they had Greg Olsen and Jeremy Shockey. That was a big part of what they did. But as for this Bills team, picking a tight end in the first round, I think there's going to be value, but does it make sense? Is your best opportunity with pick 27 to improve your football team adding another tight end so that you can run more 12 personnel? Is that the best way to maximize that asset? Will they be able to maximize that type of an addition? You know, tight ends are typically a slow developing position group. And so how do you get meaningful production out of that player when they're walking in the door as tight end two? Does that make sense over other needs that you have? Can you maximize it? Will you feel the impact when they're primarily probably going to block and catch 20, 25 passes a year? I think that's where it gets tough for me. But in terms of the players that could potentially be on the board, I mean, I'd guess one or two of Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, Dalton Kincaid from Utah, Luke Musgrave from Oregon State, Darnell Washington from Georgia, I'd guess two of those guys would be on the board. Maybe three. And those are really talented guys that I think are worth first-round selections. And that's not even mentioning guys like Sam Laporta from Iowa, Tucker Kraft from North Dakota State. And to me, by recognizing six really intriguing options, to me that takes it out of the conversation even more for the first round because there are so many options that you feel like you can wait. For as good as those players are, it'd be very, very surprising to see more than two go in the first round. It's just a numbers thing. You just don't see that many tight ends go in the first round. And so I have intrigue over the idea, but a lot of questions that come with it. And that primary question is, can you maximize that player? Is investing it in a tight end two the best way to use pick 27 to improve your football team in the best possible way? And I just don't know if we'll be able to measure it and say with a level of certainty that, yes, the answer to that question is yes. All right, so we talk quarterback, running back, tight end. In the next position, we're going to talk O-line and wide receiver. So that's going to be a fun segment coming up. But first, I do need to tell you about FanDuel. The NCAA tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, let's get into some position groups where it gets a lot more interesting. Like the next one, wide receiver. Absolutely should be in consideration for the first round for a number of reasons. Obviously, I love more firepower. And on top of that, you've got Gabe Davis, who's your number two receiver, entering a contract year. And I think it would be wise of the Bills to get ahead of that, because are you really going to be able to pay Gabe Davis? Can you pay Diggs and Knox and Davis when it comes to volume pass catchers for your offense. So I think you got to take advantage of the opportunity to get ahead of it. And so I think you have the need to add long-term assets to implement in the passing game, and you have the room for it right now. You have the room for those upgrades right now. And a lot of what we're hoping for with this wide receiver core in terms of improved yards after catch, more ability to beat zone coverage, more of a vertical impact is in the form of Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield. And I'm intrigued by those dudes. But they in no way, shape, or form take me out of the wide receiver conversation for the first round. The biggest question that I have about the Bills and a first-round wide receiver is going to be the value. Which wide receivers are really worth a first-round pick this year? Well, Jaxon Smith-Njigba for sure. Not sure he touches pick 27. Maybe Quentin Johnson from TCU. Maybe Jordan Addison from USC. Zay Flowers from Boston College. To me, the best play at wide receiver may be to wait, because that doesn't even get into guys like Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma, Josh Downs from North Carolina, Tyler Scott from Cincinnati. There's guys here that you can potentially wait on and use that pick in the first round to go in a different direction and still get impact at wide receiver on day two. And day two has been very kind to the NFL when it comes to finding wide receiver talent. DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, George Pickens, Deebo Samuel. I mean, I could sit here all day long and rip off day two receivers that have wound up being high impact players for their team. And so I want more impact at wide receiver, but I'm willing to allow it to not be in the first round. Again, if Jaxon Smith-Njigba's there or something like that, you sprint to the podium and you're real, real happy. But I don't think it has to be that way. I think you can wait there, especially this year. I don't think somebody's going to fall to you where you have to pick them. So we'll see who's on the board. I'm certainly very interested in some wide receiver upgrades. Don't think it necessarily has to come at pick 27. Now let's move on to the offensive line. We'll start with offensive tackle. And to me, the offensive tackle in the first round conversation really is centered around the Spencer Brown conundrum. I personally believe that the Bills are fully committed to him at right tackle, whether it's the messaging from Brandon Bean, the opportunities that he's had. I think the Bills are in on Spencer Brown at right tackle. Now, there could be some real value in terms of just quality talent on the board at pick 27 that makes it a very logical utilization of the pick. The offensive tackles that could go in the first round, I think there's a good number. Broderick Jones out of Georgia, Paris Johnson, Ohio State, DeJuan Jones, Ohio State, Darnell Wright from Tennessee, Peter Skoronski, Northwestern, Matthew Bergeron, Syracuse, Anton Harrison, Oklahoma. There's a lot of guys. And so there could be some real value, and obviously it's a premium position. I'm just not expecting it to be the direction the team goes with this pick, although I fully understand the argument that based on what you've actually seen from 2 years of Spencer Brown, that drafting an offensive tackle makes sense. Obviously a very important position for any offense, especially when you got Josh Allen back there. And you want Josh Allen to be everything that he can, and certainly that is a lot reliant on the five guys in front of him on the offensive line. So my belief that the Bills are in on Spencer Brown, it moves me a little bit off of offensive tackle, but I would understand anybody who's advocating for it. Predictively, I just don't know if it's going to happen. Let's go to interior offensive line. And I think the middle three for the Bills offensive line is set this year and probably next year too, at least in terms of how the Bills view it. Mitch Morse, your center, Ryan Bates, who's got 3 more years on his deal, Connor McGovern, who's got 3 years on his deal. I think that the Bills feel good about what they have there. And the immediate impact component is going to be tough because I don't see the Bills drafting any interior offensive lineman that surplants a Bates, Morse, or McGovern in this lineup. As far as the options, you think about John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin. And I think those would be the two most likely players I could see the Bills liking. I know Osiris Torrence from Florida is a name that's been brought up quite a bit. I don't think he really profiles like the other offensive linemen we see the Bills invest in from an athleticism perspective. He's not really there. So I don't know that the value is going to be great for interior offensive line. And I just don't know that there's really a path to the field if the Bills took an interior offensive lineman. So I don't know if this is actually in play, although I know the Bills are certainly doing their homework on some of these guys. And Brandon Bean will tell you, he'll pick the best player available. If it's an interior offensive lineman, it's an interior offensive lineman. All right, folks, so we're going to turn our attention to the defensive side of the football in the last segment, and there are some strong cases to be made in the front seven. I'll explain after a quick break. All right, in this last segment, we're going to talk about all the defensive positions, D-tackle, D-end, linebacker, corner, and safety. And we're obviously going to start with the front seven piece of the conversation, and I think there's a lot of need here in the Bills' defensive front seven. And I know that that doesn't make a lot of people happy. I know that people are hoping for all the investments on offense and just figure it out on defense. But man, oh man, this front seven right now is concerning to me. At interior defensive line, I think this is absolutely a possibility. You've got Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Tim Settle. That's it under contract right now. And so you need a fourth guy right now. I know that you have Elianku and Braden Bryan and Cortez Broughton, those guys. They don't move the needle for me for a defensive tackle four that's going to play a third of your defensive snaps. So you have those three guys right now. You have the need for a fourth player in your rotation right now. And just as concerning as that is none of those players, Jones, Oliver, or Settle, are signed beyond this year. And so I think this is absolutely in play for the Bills and should be. Some names to keep in mind here: Brian Breezy from Clemson, Mazi Smith from Michigan, Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. I think all three of those players are in the conversation for the Bills in the first round at defensive tackle. Need help now, and you need a ton of help beyond this year. At defensive end, I'm not sleeping on this position group either. You've got Greg Rousseau, who's a nice player. You got Von Miller, who's coming off of an ACL tear. I'm optimistic that he's going to be ready to go, hopefully for week one, maybe just a short stint on the PUP list. I'm not exactly sure what to expect here, right? Every ACL recovery is different. And he's an older guy, right? He just turned 34. What's going to happen here? Last year when Von Miller went down, Shaq Lawson started opposite of Greg Rousseau. Well, Shaq Lawson's not signed. So the player that the Bills told you they thought was the second best defensive end on the team last year when Von Miller got hurt, he's not around. And so you have A.J. Epenesa, who's in a contract year. You've got Boogie Basham, and that's it. Right now you're looking at a situation where if Von Miller misses time at the beginning of the season, it's Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa as your starter, Boogie Basham as defensive end three, and Kingsley Jonathan as defensive end four. That's not good enough. It's a deep edge class, and I think the Bills should participate in this deep edge class in the first four rounds. And if there's a guy that they like at 27, would not surprise me. Would not surprise me at all. At linebacker, obviously a huge, huge, huge need. It's an obvious need. There's no Tremaine Edmonds, and there's been nothing done to replace him. You're currently looking at a three-way competition between Tyrell Dotson, Terrell Bernard, and Baylen Specter to be your Mike linebacker for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. Yikes. The first round options, though, I will say are slim. We're going to talk about this potentially on Wednesday. I'm going to do an entire episode on linebacker options for the Bills in the draft. But legitimate first round options are pretty slim to me. Jack Campbell from Iowa obviously pops. Drew Sanders is a linebacker that I like a lot, but there's not a whole lot of Mike reps or stack linebacker reps. He's kind of a walk-up linebacker playing on the edge kind of guy. Can he? What's his coverage range? What's his ability to be that middle-of-the-field coverage guy that you need? Can he actually play downhill and process from a Mike position? I don't know. We'll talk more about it on Wednesday. But I don't love the depth of linebackers in this class, and the need is so obvious. The value is going to be the question. If Jack Campbell's there at 27, can you afford to not pick him? I mean, that's kind of how I'm looking at him, and that's a dangerous world to live in, where you feel like you're going to go into an NFL draft needing Jack Campbell to be your pick at 27 so you have a starting Mike linebacker. Maybe Dotson and Bernard are better players than I think they are, but I got a lot of concerns about this. So obviously this is big time in the conversation for the Bills in the first round. Let's move on to cornerback. And I don't know that there really is an argument here for a cornerback in the first round. And that's pretty surprising because I don't recall the last time I went into a draft for the Bills and felt like, you know what, they don't need a corner. But Trey White, Kyer Elam, Christian Benford, Dane Jackson is back. They're in good shape. Now, I guess what's a little interesting about that is that it's an awesome cornerback year. I mean, there's tons of great corner prospects. But the Bills are in good shape, and hopefully they can use that to their advantage. And, you know, these cornerbacks will come off the board before their pick and push talent down to them. But I think the Bills are finally in really good shape at the cornerback position. And then lastly, safety. I'm not talking about kickers or punters in the first round, and obviously the Bills are set there at least for next year. Tyler Bass, obviously a contract year, but you're never going to hear me advocating for kickers before day three. But let's do talk about safety, because I think this is a conversation worth having. Now, one thing that I will acknowledge about the safety idea is that the year one impact is not going to be there short of an injury to Poyer or Hyde. But do you want to get ahead of the potential need here? Micah Hyde is an expiring contract. Jordan Poyer signed a two-year deal that could very easily become a one-year thing. And you kind of have this year as that opportunity to get a guy in to learn behind both those dudes. Since he did this last year. Since he took Daxton Hill with their first-round pick and played him very sparingly, but they knew that they had Jesse Bates and Von Bell on expiring contracts, and they wanted to have somebody in-house to be able to be groomed and step in for those guys if they lose them both. Well, they did. They lost both players. Jesse Bates is on the Falcons, and Von Bell is on the Panthers. They probably are very happy that they have Daxton Hill ready to step in and replace one of them. So the Bills could do a similar thing this year with the safety position in round one. Now, I think what's different this year is what's the value at safety going to be in the first round? To me, it's Brian Branch or nothing when it comes to round one safeties. Now, there's plenty of options beyond round one that intrigue me. Sidney Brown from Illinois, Jamie Robinson from Florida State. Brandon Hill from Pitt, I like a ton. There's a lot of guys that I'd advocate for the middle rounds, but in terms of this being a legit first round investment, to me at safety, it's Brian Branch or miss me with the other players that you would pick in the first round at safety. But I think your real argument for it is rooted in taking advantage of one season to play behind Poyer and Hyde before having to step in. I'm afraid that there's too many other needs on this team that you need immediate impact from to do this. Again, maybe a little bit later on you try to seize that opportunity, but with the current state of affairs at linebacker, at defensive tackle, at wide receiver, at defensive end, I am leaning a lot more into those positions than I am fully at safety. Again, Brian Branch is the one that changes the conversation. Not sure he gets at 27. And I certainly am not going to trade up for a safety. So there you have it. There's the case for or against every position for the Bills in the first round of the 2023 NFL Draft. Now, with this conversation out of the way, we can really laser in on position groups, talk a lot more in-depth about linebacker and defensive tackle and defensive end and wide receiver, and really try to get ready for this draft based on what the Bills could do and, of course, what I think they should do. And so that'll be a big part of our conversations here in the coming weeks. But tomorrow my plan is herd mentality. If there's breaking news, we'll adjust and obviously commit our conversation to that and push it down one more day. But as it stands right now, we're going to do herd mentality tomorrow. So come on back. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.